How are you guys?
Good.
How are you?
Very good.
Sound check just on your voices. So
checking 1, 2, 3. Raining.
Justin.
Hi, I'm Greg Bean.
Greg.
Hey, Greg.
You'll never remember my name, so it doesn't really matter who I am. Nice to meet you.
Me too.
How are you guys?
Good.
My first question would be, do you guys think the show should have a defined ending, or do you think the story should go indefinitely, as long as you guys continue to get approval for TNT?
Yeah, 10 seasons, that's what I'm counting on.
Aiming for?
Yeah.
No, we talk about, it'll have a defined ending in it. You know, hopefully that will come for some time.
We sort of worked out the end game, because you kind of have to do that when you're telling a story. You kind of want to know where you're going to go. But I've always believed, and stuck with it, that you have to allow for the happy accident. You have to allow for the dynamics of the show. You know, you start to see things that actors are doing that are different. You start to, you think you want to go in this direction, all of a sudden it doesn't quite work out the way you had. But overall, I'd say that having a direct focus, which, you know, I'll have to be kidnapped and tortured before I will tell what that is, you have to have an idea of what, you know, where you're going.
You know, in the beginning of every season, before we start, there's always a few meetings with Steven Spielberg and with Michael Wright from TNT and myself and the writers, and that's always the first question. Is our end game still is what we talked about before? And then we review what we've discussed, and we talk about what new factors have come in. So it evolves a little bit, but I do think we all have at least a general roadmap of where the season is
going. I mean, Steven was, you know, even in the first season, was pitching, here's how the show's going to end. He had a very specific idea. Whether that stays the same, you know, remains to be seen, because it is a constant debate and a show changes, but to Randy's point, you have to know where you're going, or you're going to be getting into dangerous territory, I think, for sure.
And Randy, how much do you get involved in handover
to the
new showrunner, or do you just go, right, I'm done now,
walk away,
or do you sit down and go, right?
That's what I would have liked to have done.
We didn't let him do that,
he said, yeah. No, I, first of all, David and I are good old friends. I actually recommended him for this. We had many, many, many discussions, but at the same time, so I kind of gave him an idea of what my thinking was and what we were all talking about, but I also wanted him to have his own storytelling chops and to be able to bring something to Falling Skies that was different than what I was bringing, because I think that's what's fun. Just as similar conversations that I had with Mark Verheiden and Graham Yost from the first season transition to the second season, which is incredibly helpful. But then they kind of like said, have fun. And I've said basically the same thing to David.
I have to work for you guys with new guy coming in, sit down and they come up with ideas and go, no, that's not
fine. No, I think, well, David, you know, because he was tight with Raimi and was a fan of the show and has seen every episode, obviously, it was a very natural, transition. And come in and I think had a very good sense of, you know, what choices we had made to get to the show to where it was, and his instincts, were great in terms of what we're going to do this season, and it was very much a big picture, kind of a 30,000-foot conversation of what we're going to be doing this season with, you know, with Greg and Michael Wright from TNT and Steven, and we're now still having those conversations, and that's informing, but, you know, very much in the wheelhouse.
There's a lot of, it's a kind of a two-way flowing river of, like, here's what we think the rules are, and here's what we, the premise we were operating under, like, whatever, like, this is where we think the skitters came from, and what the rules are, and how the skitters became the skitters. But then there's the, like, but now you know, but if you have any new ideas, like, bring those too. There's something exciting about getting reinvented.
Yeah. And having an objective, kind of outside perspective, asking questions, choices that we had made, could it go here, you know, it's always interesting. And as Raimi handled it, you know, he gave him the second season. It was fantastic having somebody come in with his background really help shape and mold it, and what's great about the collaborative business of television.
Yeah. Exactly.
We have, like, 3 alien races right now. Are we going to have any more pop up?
Maybe.
Maybe. I'll take that as a yes.
Well,
maybe with that look
from Scott. Well, you know, the spinning, the way we've always seen how they operate is that they have taken, they seem to go from planet to planet, and they take the most virulent, strongest species from the planet, and they turn them into weapons. So I think you can expect that trend to continue, and they might, in fact, start to realize that the human race could be an excellent weapon.
Would there ever be a chance that they would... that falling skies would actually move off of Earth and take survivors and go somewhere else?
Well, our story is a human-based story, and we're about Earth. And I'm sure there's a story that could be told about, you know, finding out what's out there in the stars. But I think maybe. I'm all for pitching as many spin-offs as possible. But I think that because we're basically telling a story about a group of people that are trying to stick together and keep themselves as human as possible, I think Earthbound stories are the best.
And it's about, it's the, you know, you're fighting for humanity and survival of mankind. So maybe after they're successful on Earth.
Well, you know, I could go see the guitarist flower, for instance.
I think the most important thing is that, you know, we see ourselves as filmmakers in a relationship with the fans, and we want the fans to engage in the story with the characters and say, you know, what would I do? Would I be able to be that brave? Would I be able to make those kind of choices? You know, we want those questions asked. So we want the show relatable, and so I think it's going to stay refreshing.
How much do you listen to fans at the time? Because obviously you're normally finished filming before it airs, so does that affect how you look at it?
Sometimes it's painful. Not everybody is a fan of the show, which shocked me. But I don't want to actually hear any much about that. But I think that in terms of like specific story, we're so far ahead of the fans, which is where I think they want us to be. I'd hate it if they were ahead of us. So it's hard to take specific story ideas, but what I find very gratifying and satisfying is that when we're imagining how an audience would react to a particular thing, it's great to see that the fans are reacting to it and that they get it, and then they get the essence of the show. It's very satisfying, and sometimes I don't have a lot of two-way dialogue with fans online, but when I do, it's less about, oh, you're just the greatest in the world, or you suck, man. It's very thoughtful, nice comments and questions that really actually stimulate me, and a few of those moments from the second season, I think, came out into the third season.
And we're having that conversation now, interestingly. And it's important. You certainly pay attention to it. You don't want it to drive or tell your story, but looking at this season and what they responded to or what questions they may have and how that will inform what we're doing next year. For sure. I mean, we are absolutely having this conversation.
Thank you.
All right.